This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Let's say good morning, hello, salutations, all that. What'll be a very, very busy sports day and sports week. Good morning, Chris Canty. How are you?
I'm doing well, Dave, Rick. The Giants are using a slogan this year, Together Blue. I thought that meant that we were all in this together in the fight for social justice and the fight against the coronavirus. I didn't think they meant that we were all going to be blue for another miserable year of New York football, but it looks like that's what we're in store for, Dave, because the New York teams are combined 0-8.
0-8, Giants again yesterday, and I'm sure there'll be some people that'll call us at 800-919-3776. Oh, they competed. They were in the game. I mean, Rick, the offense looks awful. I don't know what else there is to say. They've you know, the first thing that Dave Gettleman said is, you know, we're going to fix this offensive line. I'm still, 3 years later now, waiting for this to fix, waiting for this to happen, for the offensive line to be better.
Yeah, offensive line was bad.
It stinks.
You can't run the football. You don't score in the red zone. I mean, you don't score touchdowns. I mean, that's why the slogan is blue, because when you don't score, that's what happens. Things tend to turn that color when you don't score. Both New York football teams are terrible, Dave. I'm sitting here this morning going through all the different stats and everything else, and I mean, at bottom of the league, all offensive categories. I mean, what's amazing, you know what? This is the crazy part, too, looking at it this morning. The Jets and the Giants had the exact same amount of yards.
This week?
No, in general, for all four games. Exactly the same amount of yards. Only difference is the Giants score just under 12 points a game. Jets score 16.
Oh, that's what you want to be, that guy this morning?
Come on, you're going to be the guy that sits here and runs with the Jets flag today. You can't be that guy. You can't be that guy. That's a bad guy.
Yeah,
that's all
a bad
I got,
guy, Dave.
That's all I got at this point. What am I going to tell you?
We have nothing. I mean, it's another. I mean, the Giants come out 3-0. They looked laughable. I mean, the first half of offensive football, at least in the second half, they moved it a little bit and they looked like a professional team. The first half was awful. It was dreadful football, Chris.
Yeah, the first half was bad, Dave, but give the defense a little bit of credit. I thought the front seven did the job yesterday, and you got the early takeaway from Austin Johnson putting a hat on that ball that Gerald Everett caught. I think that was the Rams' second possession. So that was a hustle play. That was all out of pursuit. That was all out of effort. So you appreciate that when you see those types of plays. But the one thing I'll say is, man, this Giants team has a long ways to go, offensively and defensively. Like, everybody's saying, well, you held the Rams to 17 points. Yesterday was not the best version of the Rams' offense. It wasn't. I will give the Giants' defense credit, especially on the edges. Those outside linebackers did a great job of holding up in run support, and that didn't allow Jared Goff and that bootleg play-action passing game to get going. But that Rams team on offense, they didn't look like they had the same amount of urgency as we did when we see them in games prior. They didn't look like the team that we saw up in Buffalo take the Bills to the wire. They just didn't. For whatever reason.
Well, because they probably knew they didn't need to.
Well, you're probably right on that one, Dave. But again, I can't just say that it was. I don't want to be completely dismissive of what the Giants did well yesterday. And I thought the way that they held up in the run game, only allowing 58 yards rushing, that was impressive. I thought that was impressive. Because you're talking about a team that had 153 yards rushing against the Cowboys, 191 against the Eagles, and 167 against the Bills. So the Giants' defense did a good job of slowing down their run game, and you saw that Jared Goff couldn't just beat him with his arm, although he did hit that big play to Cooper Kupp in the fourth quarter, and that ends up being the difference.
Yeah, I mean, outside of their first drive, I mean, outside of their first possession where they just, I mean, just systematically went all the way down the field and scored the touchdown.
Like they were taking candy from a baby on the first drive.
Yeah, but besides that, the play Chris was talking about, that blown coverage by the safety, I mean, that big Kupp touchdown. I mean, the offense for the Rams pretty much did nothing that entire game.
Nothing. But and listen, I give the Giants defense credit. They played well. Whether it's that the Rams weren't at their A game or the Giants played really well, whatever. You know what? They had that offense of 17 points. That's a heck of a job. But you should be able to win any game you play in the NFL this day and age when you hold the opposition to 17. And they couldn't put the ball in the end zone. I mean, Beckham had more touchdowns yesterday in one game than the Giants have had all season long on offense. I mean, come on already.
Yeah, Dave, but when you have three red zone penalties and four red zone possessions, that's probably not going to allow you to score touchdowns. You can't make those kind of mistakes. You can't have illegal formations and false starts. That's going to set you back. When you have a first and 15 as opposed to having first and 10, it makes a difference. I mean, you know, the Giants found themselves in that situation too often in yesterday's game, and we know that they don't have any margin for error when they get down in that area, because guess what? They are the worst offense in the red zone in the National Football League. There's no one worse. 10 trips to the red zone this season, only 2 touchdowns. You've gone back-to-back games without scoring a touchdown. 137 plays. That's where the Giants are at right now. So you've got to avoid making those types of mistakes. And then Daniel Jones is, he's got to take care of the football, man. We keep talking about it week in and week out. And yesterday, for the most part, he did that up until the very last play on offense. He throws an interception to Darius Williams.
Yeah, but it drives me crazy. And that's not a great throw. I mean, in hindsight, he probably should have ran for the first down. Or if he's going to throw that ball.
Or just don't stare down your receivers. How about that?
Yeah. Right? Or just
don't stare down your receivers. How about that?
Guy makes a great play, but or throw it to the outside. I mean, that ball's more to the inside, needs to be the outside. So if anyone's going to catch it, it's going to be Ratley.
If he's looking at the receiver the entire time, don't you think the corner is going to jump the ball? That's
going
to happen.
But he made a great play.
He made a great play. It wasn't a great throw, but here's my point. The DB was able to make that great play because the quarterback is telegraphing when he's going to throw the ball, which he did the entire game. Mark Schlereth talked about it through the entire game.
Yep. He did.
He talked about red striping the receivers. You can't stare down your receivers. This is the NFL. This ain't Duke. He should be past that by now. We're talking about his, 17th start? He should be past that by now. Daniel Jones has got to be better.
Well, the offensive line's got to be better. He got sacked 4 times in the first 4 possessions. I mean, we're sitting here, we're beating up these young quarterbacks. I get it. I mean, he needs to take steps. He can't turn the football over. But, I mean, they can't run the football.
Nope.
I mean, the couple drops yesterday that need to be caught. I mean, no one's really helping him out. I get it. I mean, those are mistakes you don't want to make. But, I mean, you know, how come you're not taking shots down the field? Well, you have to have time to take shots down the field or have a receiver that can win consistently. In the Jets and the Giants, then neither of them have that right now.
No, the offensive weapons are so limited. And I mean, Evan Engram is I can't wait for his Giants career to be over. He is the classic, you know, million-dollar promise, and he gives you nothing. He gives you first play of the game, they throw the ball to him, he drops it. He's dropping balls all game long. Anything in the middle of the field, he can't catch. In the flat, he can catch it and turn upfield. But anything in the middle, anytime he's going to get hit, it's the same song and dance. It's another one of those picks that's wasted. It's just watching this Giants offense is so frustrating, guys. It really is. They are terrible. You watch, and listen, Cowboys fans have not a lot to be excited about, but you watch that offense, you watch the Chiefs, you watch the Ravens, you watch, I mean, 3/4 of the offenses in the league, they can go up and down the field. And this offense can't put a touchdown on the board for 2 straight games.
No, Dave, they can't. And you guys talked about the offensive line. They gave up 5 sacks yesterday. And here's the thing. I thought it was going to be a lot worse after watching what they look like and then watching what that Rams defensive line has looked like through the first 3 games. But, I mean, there were spots in there where the offensive line provided a clean pocket, and you saw the productivity from Daniel Jones. I mean, he was able to drive the ball downfield on that last drive to Darius Slayton. That was a clean pocket that he had to step up in and throw the football. So, I mean, there were spots in there that I thought the offensive line did a good job, and I got to credit Jason Garrett with his play call and helping Daniel Jones get the ball out quickly. Like early in drives, you saw a lot of 3-step drops, a lot of catch it and throw it. It wasn't a whole lot of, you know, deep drops and deeper routes. And then he tried to pick and choose his spots where he challenged the back end of that defense. But, I mean, the offensive play caller and the defensive play caller yesterday for the Giants gave you an opportunity. Patrick Graham, I thought, called a good game as well. It's just that you need players to step up and make plays in critical moments. And quite frankly, the Giants just don't have enough of that. And the guy that you would look to in Daniel Jones, he came close. I mean, that last drive, he had a couple of really nice scrambles too. Used his legs. I don't know how he got out of that one.
It was
a 2nd and 10 at midfield. Yep. The pocket just collapsed around him, and he squirts through the middle of it, and he picks up the first down and moves the ball inside the 35-yard line. Like, that was an impressive play. And then a couple plays later, he did it again to move the ball down to the fringe of the red zone. Like, seeing him do that, it makes me want to believe in his ability. But then you see a few plays after that, he throws the interception. It's just like, man, come on. Come on, man. You can't do those types of things. And the frustrating part about it is the play right before the interception, he throws the stick route to Evan Engram, which is generally in the same area of the field as he was trying to target on Darius Slayton. So it's just one of those things like, man, you can't keep going to the well and think that NFL defenses aren't going to adjust.
Yeah, unfortunately for Daniel Jones, it felt like it was inevitable. Like at some point during that game, he was gonna turn the football over. That's just because that's what he's been doing. But I mean, we spent all this time talking about Daniel Jones and Sam Darnold. I get it. I mean, quarterback's the most important position in the NFL, and you would imagine that at this point, those guys would start to show signs that they're taking that next step. But I mean, the 3 quarterbacks that have been are being talked about the most. I mean, you see what's going on in Washington. Haskins, Darnold, Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Is Washington's offensive line any good?
No, stinks.
No.
Are there offensive, are there, is there, you know, do they have a lot of skill position help for Dwayne Haskins?
No.
No. Do the Giants or the Jets?
No.
Look at all these teams that are having success that are scoring points. They have, I mean, they're littered with talent. The Jets and the Giants right now, especially the Jets, but the fact that the Giants can't run the football and they're completely one-dimensional now, and you're like, and you can tell that, I mean, you can tell that Jason Garrett's trying to protect Daniel Jones.
Yes.
From
yeah,
making
they were
those
conservative
mistakes.
Yesterday, and they ran the ball a ton.
Yeah, so you're trying to protect him, but there's just, I mean, there's not many great options, Dave, really, for either of these guys.
Listen, I know. I sit there watching the game, just shaking my head the entire game. It's sad to watch. I mean, now they're 0-4. It's just, I mean, every week it's like, well, now they're 12-40 in their last 52. Now they're going to be 12-41. It's just, I mean, it's monotonous. It's by rote. You know that they're going to lose these games, whether it's the other team scores 35 and the Giants put up a couple points, or where the other team scores 17 and the Giants can't put it into the end zone. Somehow, some way, every week, the Monday morning following, guys, we're going to discuss what went wrong with the Giants, why they lost. And I got to be honest, like, I think Daniel Jones is good, but I don't even know anymore. I don't even know. I mean, what happens if you go 2-14 and wind up with the second pick and Justin Fields is sitting there? I don't know. I'm so confused by what I'm watching every single week with this team. I just think big picture, I'm so confused right now.
Well, here's the thing, Dave, and I tweeted this out yesterday. I feel like it's time for Daniel Jones to get his team on the winning side of those kind of games. Like when you have a one-possession game into the fourth quarter, it's time for him to start figuring out how to try to win those games. And I know that the offensive line isn't very good, but everything isn't going to be ideal. But if you're taken with the sixth overall pick in a draft, you're supposed to be able to operate and have productivity even when things aren't ideal. And so when I look at what Daniel Jones has to work with, it's just like, you know, he's got more to work with than Sam Darnold. He's got more to work with than Dwayne Haskins. Like, I'm going to need for him to do a little bit more.
See, I would agree with you, but here's the thing. I'm of the mindset, I think Dwayne Haskins stinks. I don't think he's going to wind up being a legitimate quarterback in this
season. Okay.
And I think they're on the verge of actually benching him. I almost wish I knew that. Like, I can't get to the end of the season, Chris, and not have
any
idea.
But how do you know what
Dave,
about Dwayne Haskins?
Dave, my point is this. If you're at the end of the season and you have the second overall pick, that probably tells you all you need to know. If you're in position to draft Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields, whether you're the Jets or the Giants, it has to be a consideration. Because that means that your young quarterback hasn't showed you enough to make a definitive determination in the affirmative. Like, they haven't. They haven't proven to you that they can be the franchise guy. That's why you're in that position. So if you get down the road and that's exactly where the Giants are at, then yeah, Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence will be in play. A lot of this is going to be determined on what it looks like. And we're a quarter of the way through the season, and right now it don't look very good. So you're hoping that at some point it'll turn and Daniel Jones will start to be more consistent. Your offense will find a way to get touchdowns rather than settling for field goals in the red zone. You're hoping that that happens. But if it doesn't, then, yeah, I think that the Giants organization and whoever is sitting at the helm, because I don't think Dave Gettleman would be the GM under those circumstances, they would have to take into consideration taking another young quarterback.
Yeah, I just don't know how you tell. I mean, I don't, honestly. I mean, maybe this is just me and my own personal experience.
But that's
I feel
what
bad
scares
for these guys.
Me, Rick. Like, we can
no,
go.
You, I mean, you're sitting here saying that you know
not,
Dwayne Haskins.
I might not really know about Daniel Jones.
No, but you're sitting here saying you know Dwayne Haskins stinks.
He does to me.
Well,
yeah,
to you, he stinks. But how would you really know? You have, I mean, outside of Terry McLaurin, who does he have around him? Nobody. You're asking this kid. I mean, this kid, straight out of Ohio State, where he's surrounded by talent and has an unbelievable season. To all of
one
a sudden,
year starter,
one year starter to take this garbage. And elevated. When we've already seen, outside of a handful of quarterbacks, the Andrew Lux of the world, these young guys need to have talent put around them. Either a great defense or a good offensive line, skill position player, whatever it is. You have to have something. Neither of these teams have anything. They have nothing. Both offensive lines stink. They can't run the football. And on the outside, they don't have guys that can consistently win for their quarterback. It's not fair to them. It isn't.
It's not fair to them. But you know what? In this day and age, you need answers quickly. And we're not getting answers. We have nothing. We don't know anything about Daniel
Jones. But that's what pisses me off about what Joe Douglas did this offseason. You needed to put enough talent around him.
To at least get a definitive answer. I completely agree with you. Let me know. Even if he's awful, Give me a couple receivers. Let me know what he is. If he stinks, I'm 1-15. I'm 2-14. I get the top pick. I know. I've done everything I could to make him look decent. He's not decent. I move on. But we're going to get to the end of this year. I think with both of these quarterbacks, we're going to say, boy, I don't know. I guess they could be good. I don't know that they can be good with these franchises right
quick,
now.
Quick show of hands. Quick show of hands, Chris. Who after what they saw last season with Freddie Kitchens and the Cleveland Browns, thought that Baker Mayfield was going to be a bust? Everyone raising their hands?
Yeah.
How's he look so far now?
He looks good. Well, they run for 200 yards.
No, 300. They ran for 300. But they solidified the offensive line, and they got a head coach that knows the hell he's doing.
But in all fairness, I think any quarterback's going to look good against that Dallas Cowboys defense.
The last three games, they've been great. And you know what? Watching that game, and I get it. They can actually run the football, so you have to, as a defense, you have to account.
They could have brought a guy out of the stands for 100 yards yesterday.
But do you see how much Kevin Stefanski has Baker Mayfield on the edges?
Yep. Yes.
It's like every single play.
But you can't do that unless you can run the football.
No, I know. I get it.
Which is what the Rams found out yesterday. You can't do that unless you can run the ball. Bootlegs don't work unless you can run the ball.
I thought Blake Martinez was good yesterday.
He played a really
good game. He was good. Kyler Fackrell was good. I mean,
Giants defense played very well. You can't have watched what the defense did yesterday and be disappointed. No. If I would have told you guys, I mean, Chris, you said last week that the Rams are going to put 40 points on the board.
Yeah.
They allowed 17 points. Now, whether the Rams didn't have their A game or not, the Giants defense does deserve some commendation for what they did yesterday.
Well, I did give them credit, Dave. I was just pointing out the fact that, I don't think we saw the best version of the Rams offense. I don't.
Oh, and that's fine. But still, the Giants defense played really well.
Yeah, they played well. Dave, I can't take that away from them. They did play well. I mean, you're talking about a busted coverage, that being a one-point game, and you potentially having to worry about driving the ball down and kicking a field goal rather than scoring a touchdown and getting a two-point conversion. That's the difference. But, I mean, in any NFL game, for the most part, they're going to come down to a handful of plays, and the Giants routinely find themselves on the wrong side of those plays. And at some point, that's got to change. Now, I'll give credit to Joe Judge. The fact that they got blown out at home against the backups of the 49ers, fly all the way out to the West Coast and give you that kind of effort. It's a one-point game at the start of the fourth quarter. I give you props for that because Giants had every opportunity to let go of the rope and to start making excuses, and they didn't do that. So the fact that we did see that kind of effort and it did come down to the last possession against a team that's probably going to make the playoffs, I'll give credit to Joe Judge for that. But at some point, you got to start winning games.
Yeah, I agree. And listen, they you look at their schedule upcoming, and they do have some winnable games. I mean, it's Dallas this week, and I don't think that'll go well. And then they host Washington, go to Philly will be tough probably. Buccaneers will be tough. And then it's Washington again. And then you have the Bengals in there. So, and I'm not saying the Bengals are an easy team because I don't think they're bad, but there are some winnable games for the Giants. They're not going to win the 6 or 7 like a lot of people thought, but they're going to win, I would think, a couple of games. If they go 1-15 or 2-14, that would be just a horrendous season.
Yeah, I think you got to question everything you're doing as an organization if the Giants find themselves in that position. Everything you got to question. And here's the thing about those winnable games that you're pointing out on the schedule. The teams that they're playing are saying the exact same thing about the Giants. Those
are
winnable games.
Because they're winnable for both teams. But, I mean, if you get swept by Washington, if you lose to Cincinnati, these are not.
There are four winless teams in the NFL, Dave, and the Giants and Jets are two of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The other two are Houston and Atlanta.
I think, didn't the Browns score more points yesterday than the Giants have on the year? I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, the Giants stink. There's no two ways about it. And I still, guys, will point, and I know that we get into this conversation all the time. I mean, the talent on this team is just, it's not there. Dave Gettleman has not done a good job putting this team together. He said he's going to fix the offensive line. He said he's had
but it was going to take time, Dave.
I'm
not giving Dave, listen, Dave Gettleman has not done a good job. I'm not going to sit here and make excuses for Dave Gettleman. But we all said going into the season, new head coaches with young quarterbacks would struggle early on.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly that's been the case. I didn't expect the offensive line to look this bad for either team, but I mean, we are only through four. This is in a normal season when you have OTAs, you have mini camps, and you have preseason, like a lot of teams look at the first four games, the quarter pole as like extended preseason to figure out who you are moving forward.
Mm.
So, I mean, I think now moving forward, if you don't see better, I can understand why you'd be so critical. Because they've scored 47 points.
four. I mean,
they've scored 47 points
in four games in a league where you can't. I mean, Tom Brady threw five touchdowns yesterday. He's 1,000 years old. Justin
Herbert.
He's
1,000 years old, but look at the amount of talent around him.
I know, but I mean, but still,
you keep pointing out these teams though that have tons of talent.
But you shouldn't be putting up 9 points a game. 9 points?
I'm not making excuses for 9 points.
That's a fair point.
That's a great point you made. 9 points is unacceptable. I get it. But I mean, the teams that you're talking about that are scoring all these points, they have a ton of talent.
I mean,
on the offensive side of the ball.
Panthers. Look at the Panthers. Right, that's a new head coach.
They got a pretty good coach.
That's a new quarterback to them.
But he's a veteran.
He's a veteran quarterback.
Okay, but then without their star running back, I don't know.
The Panthers roster leaves a lot to be desired, and the fact that they're sitting here at 2-2, that's an impressive job by Matt Rhule. It is.
I mean, their star receiver was a guy the Jets couldn't wait to get rid of, and now look at him.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying Rick the Giant should be scoring 30 points a game.
Could have been your head coach, Rico. Could have been your guy.
Should have been.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, that's the second you're in that meeting and you want to hire him and you say, "Hey Matt, we're going to hire your defensive coordinator." The second he says hell no is the second you should have hired him. That's like one of those test questions.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The second he said, no, I want to build my own staff, is the second he said, okay, you're hired.
But don't you have respect for a guy that comes out and says, you're not going to tell me who I'm going to inherit as coaches?
That was the point I just made.
Yeah.
If I tell him that and he tells me no, I'm hiring him on the spot. Because it makes no sense to saddle a coach with assistant coaches. You let him pick his staff.
You know what else doesn't make any sense? Nick Gates and Golden Tate having personal grudge matches on the field yesterday. What's that about?
Well, Tate's had this with Ramsey for a long time.
Well, yeah. I mean, I know they got some stuff going on behind the scenes with the families, but still, though, like, you're trying to win a football game.
It's embarrassing. The only way you would have known that Golden Tate was actually there yesterday was because he got into a huge fight at the end of the game.
Well, no. Well, he got blown up by Jalen Ramsey on that third down play.
Right.
And if you watched the play before that, it was kind of like Golden Tate was picking a fight because it was a run play. Golden Tate and Jalen Ramsey way out of the play. Ball carrier's getting tackled. Jalen Ramsey's diving at the guys. I mean, Golden Tate's diving at Jalen Ramsey's knees. Like, that's the kind of stuff that doesn't help you win football games. Why is that your focus? You're trying to win a football game. It's absolutely ridiculous. And then Nick Gates, don't push Aaron Donald after the play. Worry about pushing him during the play, keeping him out of your backfield. By the way, it must be nice to be the defensive tackle away from Aaron Donald because you're getting one-on-ones all day. Michael Brockers all day. It's unbelievable. But, I mean, this offensive line, we've been talking about how it's going to be revamped, how it's going to be that much better, and it's still not what it needs to be.
It stinks, but it was better. Outside of the first, I mean, it got a little bit better for a minute.
It did. Well, they took Cam Fleming out for a little while,
too. It got a little bit better, Rico, but I think that's a byproduct of Jason Garrett calling a lot of short passing plays.
Yep.
Getting the ball out quickly, man. Hit your back foot, get rid of the ball. They were not going to take any chances with that front. And then when there was pressure – Daniel Jones was pulling the ball down and running. That's why I think it got better.
Well, it wasn't promising early in that game. Like, you thought it was going to get killed.
No, the first drive was like, come on.
Four sacks in the first four possessions.
Oh, yeah. My God. I mean, it's the same thing all the time.
At least when he fumbled the ball, he got it back, though. At least when he fumbled, he got it back.
Yeah, good point.
True.
Did have the strip sack.
Yeah.
Get it back. I guess that's progress.
What do you want him to do?
But did you not go into that game expecting to see, like – as far as, again, are you going to yell at me? I know they should score more than 9 points. But when we were talking about this game on Friday, offensively they've been challenged. They're going, you know, flying across the country against Aaron Donald in that defense. You figured that they would struggle offensively. Listen, there is no way in hell anyone could have seen, after what the Rams did to a really good Buffalo defense in Buffalo, mm-hmm. that the Giants defense would be that good against
the Rams. I thought the Giants defense did a great job yesterday. You can't be upset with the Giants defense.
Again, I'm not upset at the Giants defense, Dave, but I mean, there are times when the Rams pass protection was just cutting guys loose. Like Austin Johnson, nobody around him in the red zone. They just parted like the Red Sea, let him sack the quarterback. Like, how often do you see that happen for an interior lineman in the NFL? It never happens.
Well, yeah, like
turnover on the second play. I mean, Jared Goff just holding on to the football like he's got all day to throw it. I mean, there was even one time when Mark Schlereth said that's 100% on the quarterback.
Yes.
He said, like,
Andrew Whitworth
stopped blocking the guy. And Kyler Fackrell gets the sack.
But how is it that the Rams offensive line a couple of years ago stunk? It was awful. And all of a sudden,
the offensive line is really good this year.
And right, well, that's the point. How does that happen? Yeah. How do other teams go out there and they snap their fingers and their offensive line goes from dreadful to really
good
and the Giants make it their number one priority and they can't fix it?
Because of what Sean McVay does with the motions and everything else. I mean, they're better, but I think it's also, you know, helps that Sean McVay with the play calling too.
Yep.
Well, they didn't have him just standing there blocking. I mean, you saw the misdirection and everything that they do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you play to your strengths. And unfortunately for the Jets and the Giants, they don't have any strengths at the moment.
They don't really have any.
They don't do anything
they
really well.
Don't. They don't have an. It's almost like they don't have an identity, though.
No,
right?
They don't.
Like if somebody asks you what the Giants' identity is,
even the Giants' identity would have been Saquon Barkley, and that's now gone. So if I said to you right now, what's the Giants' identity? You have no idea.
Yeah, I have no clue.
They have no idea what they are.
Well, there isn't one. They don't do anything above average.
No.
Nothing.
Nothing. They don't protect above average. Their quarterback's
how do you protect
above average?
Well, but
the
how do you
game's not above average?
But that's the biggest problem.
Nothing.
But that's for me is the biggest problem, is that you don't have, like you mentioned, Odell.
They're pretty good against the run. Giants defense pretty good against the run.
They've been pretty good against the run. But as far as we're sitting here complaining about the offense, and Chris played defense. He knows this. If I already know going into the game that you can't run your offensive line cannot block for the run. They can't run. All you're doing is you'll defend the run on the way to the quarterback.
Yes. Yes.
Like, you're not worried about that.
No.
Like you want to get the best out of Daniel Jones and his athleticism, but I mean, so he starts doing play action. Well,
yeah, what
if we can't run, what
exactly?
The hell? What good is the play action?
Yeah, it does nothing. How many times did you watch yesterday where the Giants? You're like, oh, that was a pretty good run. How many yards did he get? 3. It's like, what? How does that happen? Like there was one play that Wayne Gallman's like bouncing outside and cutting in and weaving around. I'm like, 3 yards he got off that. I don't know.
Gallman did have the one nice run though.
He did. That was a really nice run.
Nice run. Yeah, nice run.
But seriously, the most explosive plays for the New York Jets and the New York Giants are the ones where the court, like it's strictly out of survival mode.
Yes.
Like that somehow they make good things happen.
Yeah, like I could die, I better go.
Yeah, I better go. And hopefully something good happens.
Yeah, and hopefully these three guys miss me and I can get free. It's mind-boggling. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on DCRP via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Feel the joy of a sunny day, Rick. Find the freedom of an open field and taste the crunch from 100% whole grain oats. Stay outside longer with Nature Valley Oats and Honey Crunchy Granola Bars. We are better outside. All right, we are better with you guys. 800-919-3776. The Giants dropped to 0-4.
Still in it, though.
Ray Dinahan is a bad guy, by the way.
Is pathetic.
Ray Dinahan is a bad guy. He said the Giants are excellent at giving the ball away.
He's a bad guy. He's such a bad guy, but that's who he is. He doesn't try to pretend.
No, he owns it, and he plays the role very, very
Dave,
well.
Yes. Dave, I'll tell you a story at some point during the, I don't know if we'll have time because we only have 2 hours, but I had the first moment in the history of being a dad where I legitimately let down Milo.
What'd you do?
Like, he was legitimately disappointed in me.
What did you do?
Well, I can't tell you now. We don't have time. Well, I'll tell you at some point during the show.
Is this a four-minute story? How long is this going to take?
No, it's a pretty decent story. I don't want to just give you the 15-second version of it because I got this beautiful, Shell morning read.
Now you have to tell it.
No, I'll tell it. It almost, I'm like a puddle of emotion. Like the second he looked at me, because he thinks I'm like a superhero and I let him down the way I did, I was like, it crushed me. He was legitimately disappointed in me.
Really?
Oh, he was disgusted.
Were you disappointed in you?
Oh, because I kind of told him going into it, like, this is not going to work out well. And then as soon as it didn't, like, he looked in just pure disgust.
Ugh.
Like, you're better than that, Dad.
You probably are. You're living up to the New York football team's expectations.
I caught it. I caught the Jets.
You caught the Jets and the Giants. The Giants fall to 0-4. Jets are also at 0-4, and the Giants go down to Dallas, a team that just allowed 49 points and are 9-point underdogs on the road against the Cowboys. So, I mean, it's going to go from what it is to probably worse, and it's hard, Rick, to look at the Giants right now and think this is a team that's going to win any more than 2 or 3 games maximum right now.
Yeah, but at this point, what does it matter? It really doesn't.
I guess.
I mean, your team's been competitive. I mean, at least
the
3 or 4 games your
team's
been.
Jones, right?
Well, hopefully, I mean, the Dallas Cowboys defense stinks, right?
They better score a touchdown this week. They better score a touchdown this week. Cowboys have given up 119 points in the last 3 games. The Giants can't score a touchdown this coming week. then we got a serious
but
problem.
Forget about a touchdown. Like, if you don't score 20 points this week, so then something is severely broken, no?
Yeah, I would agree with that, Dave. They got to be able to score some points. I mean, you know, it's going to be tough if you're only scoring 9 points to win a football game in today's NFL. So, yeah, they got to figure it out. And I don't think it necessarily has to do with Jason Garrett as much as it has to do with the execution from the players on the field. I'm not playing the whole Adam Gase line, but I really do think it comes down to the Giants players executing much better. They were in position to win that game yesterday. They had a chance.
They were down 10-9 with the ball in midfield.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You got to execute better. The penalties in the red zone, that's not on Jason Garrett. Illegal formation and false start, how's that on the coordinator? How's that on the head coach? It's on the guys on the field. They got to do better.
Crazy. Here's the thing, though, Rick, and you're kind of third party because you're not a Giants fan. Did you ever really think the Giants were going to win that game?
Did I think they would win the game? No.
Yeah.
No. I like how they competed, but I didn't feel like the game was.
But never once in watching that game did I ever think, you know what, they're going to win this game. They're down 10-9. They have the ball. They're at midfield. They're a couple first downs away from taking the lead. Never once. Think about that, though. Like, you're in a one-point game. You're competing the entire way through. The fan base, I'm sure most of them, if not all of them, think that there's absolutely no chance that you're going to win this football game.
Well, because
that's how bad Giants football is right now.
Well, here's the thing, though. Because I don't think anyone expected their defense to look as good as their defense looked. It just felt like at a certain point, either it was, you know, coming into the second half or whatever it was, it's like that the Rams would be able to flip the switch and have success on offense, and they never did. They never really got traction with their offense. And I don't know if it's because they were playing the Giants and they were sleepwalking through the game or whatever it was, but I mean their offense looked pedestrian yesterday, the Rams.
Yeah, they did nothing.
And 9 points, I mean, listen, 9 points isn't enough to beat the Yankees. Forget an NFL football team.
Yeah. No. We saw that from Cleveland already. Well, let's go to the phones. 800-919-3776. Bobby in Queens. Bobby, you're first up on a Monday, 98.7 ESPN. Go ahead, Bob.
Hello?
Hello, Bobby.
Yo, this is Rodney. Rodney from Queens.
All right. Oh. I'm not sure about that, but go ahead, Rodney.
Listen. This has to be the gentleman's last draft, okay? Because... okay, two players, Rojas and Baker, were arrested in offseason, no longer on team. Olatay gets suspended for performance-enhancing drugs for 4 games.
Right after they sign him, Rodney.
Right. And then he has no productivity. He hasn't been half of a player OBJ was. And then this disgraceful display he did yesterday. Ingram, either injured or when he gets on the field, no productivity. Shepard can't stay healthy. Saquon is out for season, so there's no other offensive threat. Daniel Jones is a turnover machine, and there's too many missed assignments on defense. They played well, but that one play to Cooper Kupp is inexcusable, and that display against the 49ers with receivers is running untouched. Inexcusable. What do y'all think?
I agree. I think Gettleman has done a hideous job here with the Giants. A horrible job.
Yeah, this is probably his last year. I mean, no one thought he was long for the job anyway at his age.
But nobody thought he was going to be this.
I thought it was going to be better than this day. I thought it was going to be better. I'm going to be honest. Like, before they even fired Jerry Reese, we talked about Dave Gettleman being the guy that could be the next GM for the Giants, especially after what went down in Carolina. I thought it was going to be much more competitive than this. I don't know what he's doing. I get it. Saquon Barkley is out. You lost him in the second game of the season. But Dave, this team doesn't look like it was built properly. He said he was going to fix the offensive line from day one. It's 3 years later, and the offensive line is still in shambles.
How is that possible, Chris, with the amount you've invested? I mean, you signed Nate Solder to the biggest offensive lineman contract in the history of the NFL.
That's a huge loss, though, too. I mean, let's not understate. I mean, as bad as he's been.
And you're right.
For
and
the
you're
amount
right,
of money.
But you know what? No one wants excuses. Everybody
no,
has
I know, but just, I mean, if all of a sudden I got Nate Solder at left tackle and Andrew Thomas at right tackle as opposed to Cam Fleming, and sticking Andrew Thomas as a rookie at left tackle. That's a huge difference.
It is.
I'd rather have Nate Solder and Mekhi Becton as my tackles. I mean, that's the truth of it. I mean, you use the fourth overall pick, and he's underwhelmed in his performance, gave up 4 pressures and a sack yesterday. I mean, Andrew Thomas has to be better. The Giants had their pick of offensive linemen in the first round, and they went with Andrew Thomas. Okay, that's fine. But he's got to be better. He's got to be more productive. I mean, so when you start talking about all of Dave Gettleman's draft picks and the moves that he's made, he leaves a lot to be desired, man. He really does. That DeAndre Baker was a huge swing and miss.
Sam Beal, the trade huge. For Leonard Williams, Omane Sam, Ogletree. Sam,
exactly. You can go down the list.
The list goes forever.
As a matter of fact, CBS I think you did list. Go down the list on your Saturday show. You went down the list. It was bad.
It's
Dave Gettleman's record as general manager of the Giants is bad.
What is it, 9-27
and it should probably cost
now?
Him his job at the end of this year.
Is that what it is, 9-27?
Yeah. That's his record. So, I mean, you are what you are. And quite frankly, it's not good enough. So we'll see what happens at the end of this year. But I'm just hoping that this team can rally and figure out a way to be able to win some of these close games. Because, again, you do have opponents that are struggling that are upcoming on your schedule. You got to find a way to not just be in the game in the fourth quarter, but win the game in the fourth quarter. That would be a sign of progress to me. That's got to happen.
I think what has to happen, though, at some point, I think the Giants ownership needs to realize that the way they've been handling their business hasn't worked.
No. In a decade now.
Well, no, because, I mean, that's it. That we're sitting here, and you spent your whole Saturday show talking about, you know, all the Dave Gettleman misses and everything else and how bad his drafts have been and, you know, some of the trades. Good for the Jets, bad for the Giants. But, I mean, everyone sees it. Like, you see it, I see it, Chris sees it. Everyone around the NFL sees it. Like, I mean, there's no way ownership can be blind to it. But again, they allowed Dave Gettleman because whatever excuse they want to make, he was, you know, unfortunately sick and everything else.
They know
else.
Him. That's what it is with them.
But that's the problem, though, because now you just did what the Jets usually do, which is you let the GM that's on the hot seat hire the new head coach. And now it's going
to
put your next GM in a weird spot.
And say, what we have done does not work. That's our comfort zone. But you know what? Unfortunately, our comfort zone does not work.
Well, until they recognize that.
Beyond that.
Okay, well, until they recognize that. In the fact that they let Dave Gettleman hire Joe Judge would lead me to believe that they don't, then it's not going to get fixed.
Yeah, because it almost feels like you're setting it up for your next general manager where you're going to saddle him with the incumbent head coach.
I think they are.
Where the general manager, based on how the Giants structure their organization, should have the say in who the coach should be.
I think they love
now,
Joe
I'm not
Judge
say,
to the point where they're going to allow him to choose his next GM in conjunction with them.
Which is Bass Ackwards. You shouldn't do that. Like that's just not who the Giants have been. And to me, if you're going to put a fresh set of eyes on this thing and you're going to find a new general manager, you should give him the choice. Evaluate Joe Judge and what he's done in his first year. And if he wants to keep Joe Judge, then so be it. But that shouldn't be a factor when it comes to making a decision on who the next GM is supposed to be. It shouldn't be. But it probably will be. And that's the problem with where the Giants are at right now.
It feels the way that it's been set up with Dave Gettleman hiring Joe Judge, that once Dave Gettleman, and maybe he retires, he just steps away so he's not fired, is going to be a promotion from within the next GM.
Oh, God.
Could be, Dave.
Oh.
It could be.
So what are they going to go with Abrams here?
I've heard Abrams. There's another name. I forgot the other guy's name. But there are two guys that are in-house candidates for the Giants. But to me, it can't be somebody that's had a part in what's been happening here the last 3 or 4 years. It can't be. It
Open
needs to
up
be somebody.
A legitimate GM search.
Well, you had one, or you pretended to have one. And I mean, Lewis Riddick felt good about his interview, but the entire time.
Come on.
I mean, you reverted back to.
We said Dave Gettleman was going to be the GM before they fired Jerry Reese. We said it.
No, I know. So how do you trust it is what I'm saying. I mean, they pretended like they opened it up last time. And they just reverted back to what they feel comfortable with.
Well, you know what? Get out of your comfort zone. What you are comfortable with does not work. Has not worked. So you need to get out of your comfort zone a little bit and admit to everyone that, you know what? Maybe we need to do things a little bit differently.
Maybe this is where they like to be.
This is their comfort zone? 12-40 in their last 52 games, that's comfortable?
They don't like all the expectations, Dave.
It's like sleeping on a bed of nails. It's awful.
It's bad, man. Good thing we only had one game to watch yesterday.
Yeah.
One New York team
at
to
least
watch.
We all get to go through it together, right? Like, you get it on Thursday, we get it on Sunday. Then we'll get it at 1-4 this coming week. Like, we do it together.
Yeah, but it could be worse. I mean, at least we know our teams stink. I mean, poor Santiago's going to watch the Cowboys.
That is worse, because that team is supposed to be good, and they are awful.
Santi, how you feeling today, honestly?
Had better days. had better days.
How you feel about Jason Garrett now, Santi?
Doesn't look like he was the problem, is he?
Sure doesn't. They've never started out 1-3 under Garrett, huh? Never started out 1-3 in 10 years.
They should be staring at 0-4 just like the Giants are right now.
Yeah, if had it not been for the Falcons, yeah.
Dave, did you see the Santiago tweet? Odds to win their respective divisions? The Seahawks are 4-0 and have a 57% chance to win the division. Cowboys are 1-3 and have a 60% chance to win the division.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
If you had to bet, you would still bet on the Cowboys to win the division?
Yes.
Yeah.
Why? Why would you?
Because look at who they're going up against. The Giants are inept. The Washington football team might be worse. The
Eagles looked pretty decent last night.
You know what? Nick Mullins.
No, Nick Mullins was awful last night. Nick Mullins looked like he was point shaving out there.
And you knew the first possession, too.
You know what it was,
wide open.
Nick Mullins got word that I picked them in my pick segment, and he was just like, you know what? I need Canty to have back-to-back winless weeks.
I wasn't. That's what it was. Chris, you're 0-6 in your last six, and I'm not far behind you.
Yeah, that's what it was.
I'm 0-5 pending.
No, you're relaxed, too. I don't even know how serious we can take your pick of Kansas City either, by the way, under the circumstances.
Well, you know what? I got them. I mean, if I was in Vegas and I went up and put money on Kansas City -7 and these things happen, I'd still have Kansas City -7.
Yeah, but how was Vegas? I want to know how RJ, what's Vegas? What are these books doing when all of a sudden COVID happens?
Well, they changed the spread. I think the spread's now 11.5.
No, but they're still honoring those bets?
Yeah.
If you have your wager in, they have to.
Yeah, they have to.
Yeah. You're locked in. All right.
Well done by Rothenberg.
I didn't know.
Well done.
I wish I would know stuff like that. This Monday Night Football preview brought to you by Progressive Insurance. We have two Monday Night games, but our game on ESPN is a team that can blow the lead like nobody else against the resurgence of one Aaron Rodgers.
I want to know who this lead is. He's having all the fun. Yeah, but it's going to be a high-scoring game. You would imagine. Devontae Adams is still a question mark, and they lost Lazard because the second you go to Dr. Myers in Philly, you're going to get surgery, and that's what happened. So he's out. You can pretty much book that. Like, if you see a player, like anyone listening, if you see one of your favorite players going to see Dr. Myers in Philly about a sports hernia, you're 99.9% sure he's going to get surgery.
Yeah.
I think that's his only opinion. What do you think we should do, Doc?
So he's going to be out. He had core surgery, and looks like Devontae Adams might be back. Ridley and Julio Jones both questionable, but I think it was
they're Jake playing. Rogers. Yeah, they said that they're going to play.
They said they're both going to play tonight. So listen, I mean, I expect Green Bay to win, but it should.
Dave. Of course you do. Why wouldn't you if they're playing the Falcons?
Should be a high scoring fun game though.
No, it'll be a fun game, and it'll be interesting to see how the Falcons blow it this week. I saw a tweet yesterday on social media that said we're in the fourth quarter of 2020 and I hope we're playing the Falcons. That's how bad it is. That's how bad what the Falcons have done through the first three games is.
Yeah, they've been awful.
I
mean, that's their way. Get
they
out
to
a fire.
That coach ain't going to be there. That coach ain't going to survive the season.
No.
Dan Quinn's not going to make
he
it.
He and Gase are battling neck and neck to see who's going to be out of here first.
Yeah. And Coach O'Brien's doing a pretty good job, too.
Yeah. Now, I didn't even realize this.
Chris, that was close at the end. That Will Fuller catch. I mean, I thought it was a catch in real time. That was
close. Houston doesn't have their one or their two. Those go to Miami?
Yeah, for Tunsil.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine sitting through a season where your team stinks and you don't even have the
pick? Do you see how much money they're spending, too?
$255 million this year. For that?
Then they're 0-4.
0-4.
How good, by the way, is Dalvin Cook?
He's
special.
He's
back.
A beast.
He's special. Can he stay healthy is the question.
Can I just point out one play that happened yesterday that made me almost break a TV because I was that upset about him.
Okay.
And it was just for me, it just solidified the fact that, you know, Adam Gase, in all his brilliance, feels like it doesn't matter who his players are, he can just still call the plays, and they're good plays, even if the guys aren't capable of making them. Mm. It was the wheel route to Alvin Kamara that worked perfectly.
Oh, yeah.
Well, because it's the Alvin Kamara, it works well.
He's the if guy it's you 30, want to throw it to.
If it's 37-year-old Frank Gore, what are we doing?
Yeah, that's not the play you're looking for.
The defender looked like a backpack on Frank Gore when they tried to make that pass.
Don't the be disrespectful to Frank Gore. You call
like
him
Frank Gore.
Future Hall of Famer Frank Gore.
I don't need to see wheel routes to Frank Gore. I don't.
That's a fair point. I'm not saying you're wrong. You're absolutely right. But what part don't you understand? Adam Gase is not good at his job, Rico.
No, but that for me is the prime example of Gase is watching Sean Payton call it, and it works. And he's saying to himself, if only my guys could execute. It's the perfect play call. They just can't execute. They're not capable of executing it.
Yep.
They can't.
Any play caller's got to think players first, then plays.
It's
not about your plays. It's about who you want to get the ball to.
You're in like the third stage of grief where you watch other teams and everything about other teams doing well or poorly reflects and reminds you of what's going on with your team. Like, you can't just watch the Saints and say, boy, beautiful play for Kamara. It now affects how you feel about the Jets because Gase is incapable of doing anything like that.
No, but I could see him sitting at home watching the game and saying, see, they can do it. That's the perfect play call. That's exactly what I call my guys just can't do it. Well, because they can't. They're not talented enough to do it.
No.
It's your job.
They're just not.
You can't just call whatever you want and expect it to work if you don't have the guys to do it. I mean, oh my goodness gracious.
Let's go. I mean, lighten the mood. A man who's always in a good mood. That is the wonderful, talented Andy in Merrick. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, DCR. You know, I know it's a wonderful, beautiful day outside because Dave still gives me weather updates down here in the basement.
It is beautiful.
While the Yankees plow through the playoffs right now, I'm going with four Mets questions for you on a Monday.
So we just had a football weekend. We have the Yankees and the Rays for the ALDS, and you're going Mets.
Yeah, I want to give some love to those lovable Mets because going forward, Steve Cohen is going to buy the world for
this
us.
This is your fault, Dave. All you have to do on a nice day is take Andy out for a walk, and you refuse to do it.
I think it looks strange for me to walk an adult man on a leash, but go ahead.
All right, so the Mets have had 9 20-win seasons by a pitcher, but only two of them have been left-handers. Can you name them?
Was Frank Viola 20?
That's one.
Mm-hmm.
What was the lefty? Lefties.
Go back to the 70s.
70s, 70s. So it's not Ryan, it's not Seaver, obviously. Kuzman?
Kuzman's number two. There you
Ooh,
go.
The Kuz.
Nicely I think they're retiring done, his number. Well, at least they were supposed to retire his number this past summer. Question number two. There have been four occasions where a New York Met player had a seasonal average of 340 or better. Name two of the four players who have hit that magical
Olerud.
Olerud's one.
Piazza?
Piazza's two. Nicely done, CC. The other two are Moises Alou and Cleon Jones.
That could be one of my favorite Ricky Henderson stories of all time with John Olerud.
You know, I hate to tell you this, and I can't confirm it or deny
it's
it.
It's not true?
I've heard it's not true.
Oh no. Don't
yeah,
tell me
I read
that.
It the other I actually read it the other day. I was like, oh no, come on, this has to be true. In my mind, that's always true.
Yeah, I don't care what anyone says. That story for me is always gonna be
true. I used to play with a guy just like that. And you know, that was me. Yeah.
Question number three, there have been only two times that a New York Met player has played a 162-game season. Name either one of them.
Whew.
Did Jose Reyes play?
Nope.
Might have. No?
Nope.
This is a tough one.
Yeah,
162
this is not an easy one.
Games, huh?
All 162?
All 162. I think Ricky may have played with one guy just like that.
Rick might have played with a guy just like this.
Yeah, he used to wear a batting helmet in the field.
Olerud?
John Olerud, 1999, and Felix Mian in 1975.
Yeah, we wouldn't
Final
have
question.
Ridiculous.
Davey Johnson, of course, has the most wins as a Met manager. But can you tell me which Met manager has the most losses?
In a season?
No, he's got to be
total career.
It's got to. Is it Casey Stengel?
No.
Come on, Dave. Don't just start willy-nilly throwing names out there.
Oh, it's our guy. It's Terry Collins.
TC for CC.
Yeah.
Well done, guys. Let's be careful out there and stay healthy.
Thank you, Andy. Let's be careful out there. By the way, this is big news. Huge fantasy implications, too. I was under the impression Devontae Adams was going to play.
No, I told you he was questionable.
He's not playing. He's out. Yeah.
So you got no Lazard and you got no Adams.
Yeah. And how about this? Sonny Michel also out tonight.
This is going to be a great game, too. And all of a sudden now, I mean, this is going to be all on Bill Belichick. to try to get
no Cam Newton, no Sony Michel. It's going to be hard to win.
James White's supposed to be back.
I can't even see a path for victory.
No, this is going to be they're going to get hammered, I think. Yeah. If he can keep it close, it just shows you the genius of Belichick. Huge baseball game tonight. We're 5 minutes away from breaking it down. This is a great pitching matchup, too. Gerrit Cole and Blake Snell on the mound for the Yankees and the Rays. A game you can hear right here at 8 o'clock on 98.7 following a one-hour pregame from our very own Chris Carlin starting at 7 o'clock following the Michael Kay Show. Let's go to a couple calls quickly. We'll get to Yankees and Rays immediately following. Dempsey in the Bronx. Dempsey, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Dave, thanks for taking my call. How you doing, Chris Rick? I called 2 weeks ago after the Bears game saying that the Giants, it was all the offense's fault and the offense is the issue. I couldn't call last week because I was reeling after that 49ers game. I don't even understand how Dave was even able to do radio after that. I was distraught. But this game showed me the defense can play and that defensive coach can make adjustments. I tried to say it 2 weeks ago, but I'll say it again. Jason Garrett's system only works is if every single offensive position is ranked in the top five, and then a quarterback needs to be above average. And he still underperforms with that team. Dave Gettleman's out, obviously. I think Joe Judge gets another round. I think the defensive coordinator looks like he's maximizing the talent on defense. Jason Garrett has to go with Dave Gettleman. And that's what we got to do moving forward.
Time out. Maximizing the talent. Time out. Maximizing the talent on defense. It was one game. He got shredded by Nick Mullins. I mean, let's relax for a quick second.
Nick Mullins was yanked from a game last night.
They came in ranked fourth before that Nick Mullins game. I understand that. But that's what I'm saying with Kyle Shanahan. He schemes his way into winning anything. We don't have an offensive coordinator, and we never had, that can maximize the talent.
Well, I don't know how good your scheme is going to be if your offensive line is as bad as the Giants' offensive line is.
True, but
how good is your scheme going to be?
Dave Gettleman put together one of the worst freaking offensive lines I've ever seen.
Yeah, okay. So your offensive coordinator is limited in terms of the things that he can do. You can't run deeper route combinations if your offensive line can't hold up in pass protection.
But we've seen him for 9 years with the Dallas Cowboys. What has he done when he's had when everyone's considered a top five offensive line?
You make it sound like their offense.
Their offense has been really, really good down in Dallas. The offense in Dallas under Jason Garrett has been really, really good. So I don't know where you're making this claim that Jason Garrett doesn't know what the hell he's doing in terms of calling plays.
I'm just saying it underperforms with the talent level. What do? They go 8-8. They go 9-7.
Honestly, Dempsey, and I think Kyle Shanahan is an offensive genius. Do you think he comes in here and all of a sudden the Giants are running up and down the field? I mean, the guys, they don't have a lot of talent on offense.
But here's the thing, though. I don't think it's fair to judge Jason Garrett yet. I mean, you could tell what he was doing yesterday. He's trying to protect his young quarterback. I mean, there's only so many things you can draw up. I mean, how many shots can you take down the field if your offensive line can't hold up? It doesn't work. Get the guy killed.
And so we're at the point where move on from Gettleman, move on from Judge, and move on from, you just want to clean house four games in?
Well,
the coaching staff is brand new.
You had the opportunity to do that, and you decided not to.
The coaching staff is brand new. Can we calm down a
little bit?
Coaching
staff is brand new. Yeah, brand new. You're four games in with no off-seasons and OTAs or anything else. No preseason games. Relax.
And they're not
We can say whatever we want to say about Jason Garrett as a head coach, but as an offensive coordinator, Jason Garrett, in 14 years coaching in the NFL, has had 8 top 10 offenses. 8. So I'm pretty sure Jason Garrett knows offense. But again, I come back to the issue with the Giants' offensive line. You're going to be limited. Your quarterback has to throw the ball quickly. Because guess what? The offensive line ain't going to give them a whole lot of time to sit back there in the pocket and diagnose the field. That's just not going to happen. So I don't understand how dynamic you want the offense to be if your offensive line is not very good and you can't consistently run the football.
What player do you have that's dynamic?
Evan Ingram's supposed
to be
dynamic.
Let me tell you, he's not.
But that's what you expected when you drafted him in the first round. But you haven't seen it yet.
Well, shows you flashes. Never see it.
Shows you flashes, but there's
not
no
here,
consistency.
He won't.
No.
The best weapon he's got is Darius Slayton. That's the best weapon Daniel Jones has to work with.
Dropped the big pass yesterday, too.
Yeah.
Did not play well. Giants are limited offensively. We didn't think they would be, but right now they're limited.
They're not supposed to be limited, Dave.
Well,
offense is supposed to be their identity. They're not supposed to be limited on that side of the ball. We said coming into this year, if the Giants are going to be competitive, the offense is going to have to win today.
Yeah, but that was
the offense was far decent.
From that. Far
that
from
was
that.
Before Saquon got hurt, though. I mean, that's got to change a little bit.
If the offense was decent, we'd be looking
at a
2-2 football
team right now. Yeah, that's got to change a little bit, Rick, but it's still – that's got to change a little bit with Saquon Barkley going down, but you still see the investments that they've made on that side of the ball with cap dollars and draft capital. The offense is supposed to be ahead of the defense with the New York Giants. The offense is supposed to be the reason why you're in games, not the defense.
Yeah.
And it's
the
other way around.
If the offense was decent, you'd be 2-2 right now, at least.
It's exactly it, yeah.
And you're not. Yeah. You're 0-4. James in the Bronx. James, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing? CC,
we're
what up,
right,
man?
James.
What's going on, bro? What's happening?
I just want to say chilling, brother. I just want to say two things. CC, check out the Brick City Lions, bro. We're going to take it all the way this year.
All right.
But the second thing, Lewis Riddick. Let's just stop playing and get Lewis Riddick in here, and let's see what he could do, because he's very smart, very intelligent, and know what he's talking about. What do y'all think about that?
I think
everybody's
on board with Lewis Riddick.
Football job. I mean, that's who you should have hired in the first place.
I think he's terrific.
Well, I mean, to Chris's point, I mean, listen, who knows who it ends up being, but I think Chris makes the best point. You need a fresh set of eyes.
Yes.
That has no attachment to
what you
see in the field.
I could not agree with you guys more. You need to look outside the organization at a legitimate football mind and not, well, this guy, you know, once scouted with us, so we know him, we feel good about him. I don't, enough of that at this point.
Because I just feel like everybody in the building, Dave, is culpable in this. Everybody has a hand in making the Giants as bad as it's been over the course of the last four seasons. And I don't know if I necessarily want to promote somebody in-house knowing that the record the last 4 years has been the worst in football.
You can't.
You know what I mean? I just that doesn't make sense to me. Seems, I don't know, man. I guess incestuous would be the word. I feel like you got to go a different direction.
Because you do. Because it's so obvious, Chris. Everybody involved at the scouting, at the planning, at the drafting level has failed. Whether you want to be honest about it or not, they have. All right? This is a team that has been rebuilding for years now at this point. It's time for a fresh set of eyes, like you guys have said. That's right. That's what you have to do. Now, will they? I don't know. But that is clear and obvious to me that that's what you should do.
Yeah,
I agree with both of you. I mean, that you can't have anyone making decisions that has any attachment to what you see to any of what you see in the field right now.
Like, would the Giants be willing to go that direction, knowing that person is probably going to want to change a lot of the things that have been going on?
But isn't that good?
Part of the last decade?
Don't we want to change what's been going on for the last decade?
Yeah, I understand, Dave. I understand exactly what you're saying, but again, a part of why Gettleman got the job is because he understood Giants DNA and he knew that ownership would be involved in a lot of the decisions that are going to be made. Is ownership ready to pivot off of that position? And when I say ownership, I mean John Mara. Is he ready to pivot off of that position? Is Chris Mara going to be as involved with personnel decisions as he is right now? I don't know. Nobody has the answer to that question.
It has. I mean, to succeed, you have to be ready to move on in a different direction. You have to be. Otherwise, you're just going to go cyclically around and play this game again.
I think somebody that they should also keep an eye out for is Ed Dodds, the assistant GM that's out there with the Indianapolis Colts. I think he's somebody that people are going to be looking at to be a general manager, and clearly he knows how to put a football team together. They're going to be qualified candidates out there. Lewis Riddick is definitely going to be another name. But, I mean, I feel like there are other people outside of the organization that could come in and put the Giants on the right track and build – the kind of foundation that you need, put in place the infrastructure so you can draft and develop your players. Because that's the biggest thing that the Giants haven't been doing the last 4 or 5 years. They haven't. You got to draft well and you got to develop your players. They haven't done a good job of either.
First round, second round, third round should all be contributing. And there's way too many guys who are not contributing on this roster from the early picks. All right, today on ESPN Daily.
But Dave. What screwed this entire process up? I mean, you keep saying they've been rebuilding for years. That wasn't initially the intention wasn't to initially rebuild. It was to reload for Eli. That's what set you back. I mean, if you go into the draft with the second overall pick with as many teams that needed a quarterback that were going to be willing to trade up to take the quarterback that they wanted, and you were actually rebuilding, there's no way you take a running back with the second overall pick.
Of course.
You do exactly what Indianapolis did. And you got Quentin. I mean, you got Quentin Nelson, Darius Leonard. I mean, you name like that.
You could have traded back.
To do.
You could have loaded up. We know this. We've been over this a million times. They thought that they could, for some foolish, you know, Shangri-La. Eli has one more magical run if we give him just a terrific running back. It's laughable. It's laughable, is what it is. That they thought they were one stud running back away.
But that's when it's. I mean, but that's when bad decisions were made.
Yeah, but that's 3 years ago now.
No, but you're still paying the price. I mean, you're still paying Nate Solder, are you? And he's not even playing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, you still made decisions in that moment to try to, rather than to rebuild it the right way, you look for quick fixes that didn't work out.
None of them.
I mean, Solder hasn't worked out. You paid him a ton of money. I mean, unfortunately, you're wasting the prime years of Saquon Barkley because you're not winning any football games. Now he tears his ACL. Omame didn't work out.
Ugh. Ogletree. I mean, the list goes on forever.
But you're making, I mean, those are moves that, I mean, you probably don't make if the marching orders are different from ownership. I mean, like you almost forced into making moves like that because they're saying, hey, we want to win with Eli. Well, what does he need? I need to plug some holes in the offensive line, and if Saquon Barkley can be a dynamic wide receiver,
listen, you're
dynamic
right.
Running back,
I mean, they
Odell.
Could never come to grips that it was over with Eli Manning, that he wasn't that good anymore, and you couldn't build this superpower team around him. And they tried, and they forced it, and it didn't work, and it blew up in their face, and now you're years later, and it's still an absolute mess.
Yeah, you continue to pay the price for it.
That's the truth. Today on ESPN Daily, the impact of COVID-19 on NFL schedules and rosters, plus the state of the NFC East through four Sundays of action. That should be a great listen. On ESPN Daily, subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts. All right, so tonight, 8 o'clock, right here, 98.7 ESPN. Chris, I mean, this is it. Yankees, Rays, best of five, pitching matchup, teams that don't like each other. I mean, this has all the feels. This is going to be a great series.
No, it's going to be awesome, Dave. And let's not forget how the regular season finale, their series finale ended. I mean, it was talking about Kevin Cash saying he's got a stable full of guys that throw 98. And that was coming off of what Aroldis Chapman did to Mike Brissot and Austin Meadows. So, this is going to be spicy for a lot of different reasons. They've had our number all this year. We've only won 2 out of 10 matchups. First time the two teams are getting together in the postseason. So I'm excited for it, man. I'm nervous, but I'm excited for it as well. Should be a great series.
Rick, I've heard a lot of people say this is a – obviously it's not must-win, but I've heard, you know, that kind of force, this is a must-win. This is a big game for the Yankees. You trot out Gerrit Cole. You can't afford to lose this game, and then they haven't even announced a starter for game 2. This is a really, really big game for the Yankees.
It's an important game. Yeah. This is absolutely an important game. I mean, you go into the series thinking that the Yankees have the advantage in the bullpen, and I don't think that's necessarily the case, especially with what you saw in the Cleveland series. Like, who Aaron Boone actually trusts, and Kay calls it the circle of trust. It feels like it's three guys right now at the moment. So the guy who's going to give you length with the starters is going to be Gerrit Cole. So, yeah, I mean, you're right. This is an important game. It's a 5-game series. It should be a 7-game series. I mean, shame on Major League Baseball for doing this stupid bracket garbage. Nonsense. I'd be pissed if I was Tampa right now. But yeah, this is the one. I mean, this is how many guys need to say it. This is why we paid Gerrit Cole the money, was for these games.
Yep. So go out there, give me 7 innings of 1-run ball. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, that has to be. I don't know if it has to be 7 with 1-run ball.
But you know what? Go out there, and at the end of the start, have us saying, like, wow, you know what? That's Gerrit Cole.
And here's the one thing I do like for the Yankees is the fact that I hate playing the game because there's not a lot of teams that can do it, that can flip a switch. But apparently what you saw in Cleveland, I mean, you can say what you want about Cleveland. Maybe they were overrated or whatever it is. I don't care. They flipped the switch because they look like a completely different team. They're finally healthy now. They hadn't been healthy for a lot of this season when they played these Rays games, lost a lot of close games. I mean, the Rays were 5-1 in the six games decided by 2 or less runs. So they were close games. And the fact that this isn't a neutral site, like this isn't the Yankees having to win games in Tampa where they struggled. This is you know, we're off to San Diego. You know what I mean?
I was going to ask you about that, Rico, because Eduardo Perez brought that up on KJZ this morning. He was saying that he felt like Petco Park was advantage Rays in terms of their lineup versus the Yankees lineup.
That may be the case just for how the park sets up. I just mean it just changes scenery. Yeah. Like, this isn't like, because I think there's something to be said. Like, there are certain places, like, for example, like playing in Carolina, I could be on a, you know, 5-game streak where I've let in, you know, 3 goals in 5 games. And then for some reason we go into Carolina, I get shelled and pulled. Like, there's just places I didn't play well. And this year, the Yankees have struggled in Tampa. And, you know, lucky for them that there's no games in Tampa.
So this is a question for you, Rick. You probably know the answer to this. The Rays, I guess it works that the Rays are home for the first two and then game five?
It was the same thing, yeah. The Rays get the home locker room, so the Rays get the Padres locker room, and then they're home 1-2.
And five.
And five, yeah.
And then the Yankees bat in the bottom of the first in games 3 and 4.
Yes, correct.
Okay. All right. That's what I figure. But, Chris, do you agree with this, that this is a huge game, more so for the Yankees than the Rays tonight?
I mean, yeah, this is a big game. You want Gerrit Cole to go out there and set the tone, and the fact that the Rays have been able to touch him up a little bit is a concern. I mean, 5 of the 14 home runs he's given up this year have come from the Rays lineup. So, yeah, Gerrit Cole needs to go out there and pitch well. I mean, he did it in the wild card series, and we're expecting him to do it again. This is a big game. You know, if you can go out there and you can get a win in this game, you're putting a lot of pressure on the Tampa Bay Rays.
Yeah, you got to find a way. Gerrit Cole, I mean, his arch nemesis has been G-Man Choi. Like, he's got to negotiate him in the lineup because he's.
Well, here's the other part about that, Rico. I mean, you just look at what happens in game 2 and game 3. I mean, undoubtedly, you're probably talking about a better pitcher taking the mound for the Rays in those games than the Yankees.
Yeah,
you're probably right.
Dangerous though.
No, you're probably right. But I think, I mean, what we've seen. I mean, even Snell was unbelievable in his first start of the postseason. But I mean, they have a quick hook because I mean, Cash can't wait to get to his stable of relievers and matchups and everything else. I mean, that's what it's going to come down to. I hope it comes down to that.
I hope it becomes a game of bullpens because it should be advantage Yankees, right?
No, yeah, but the Rays bullpen is good.
The Rays bullpen and how he matches up has been really good. It concerns me. Here's what would concern me a little bit is that outside of Gerrit Cole, who I think gives you length, fingers crossed gives you length, they'll have a quick hook with Tanaka. They'll have a quick hook with Happ, quick hook with Garcia, quick hook with Montgomery. And if you only trust Green, Chapman in Britain.
Yep.
That's not enough.
Well, he told you in the series against Cleveland he doesn't trust Ottavino.
Ottavino needs like the perfect, like he needs a clean inning in the lane he needs to be in for him to feel good about using him. And I don't think Chad Green has been as dominant as usual either. He's been fine, but he hasn't been lights out.
There'll be a lot of emphasis on managers in this series.
There'll be a lot of emphasis on like the decision making with managers in the series.
No off days adds a degree of difficulty to this thing too. Like not being able to rest guys, not having a chance to reset the pen, like no off days. That's another challenge that you typically won't see in a postseason.
And that's why convincing wins are huge in this series.
Huge.
If you're the Yankees, you could jump out to a 5-1 lead or a 6-1 lead in a game like this and not have to use a ton of Britton, a ton of Chapman. Because you know you're going to have to tomorrow, and you know you're going to have to Wednesday and Thursday. And then if it comes down to a game 5, you're going to bring Cole back on short rest. I mean, this game, really, I don't think you can overstate it. This is a huge game for the Yankees tonight, not only in winning, but how they go about winning this game.
Yeah, I mean, this will set the tone. I mean, this will, even with how you decide, I mean, how you're forced to use your bullpen and how that limits you in games two and games three. And listen, Tampa puts pressure on you. I mean, from start to finish. I mean, they'll put balls in play. They'll run the bases well. They're good defensively. They'll steal bases if they have to. I mean, that's what makes them a tough out, man. They'll put pressure on you the entire game.
They're a terrific baseball team.
Yeah, they're a well put together baseball
team. They're well managed.
Absolutely.
Their starting staff is good. Their bullpen is good. They're timely hitting. They play the game the right way. They field the ball well. They're analytically driven. Like they do everything well. Really.
Yeah, the Yankees are gonna have to play clean baseball.
Yeah.
Which is something that they've struggled with. I mean, against the Indians they were good, but I mean during the course of the season they were awful defensively.
You can't afford to give the Rays extra outs. You just can't. Not with this lineup. This is a different animal than the Indians.
Well, especially with no days off. I mean, that for me is going to become the trickiest part of this whole thing.
It's huge.
Because I know we always call, or we in the recently, we said that, managers in baseball are middle managers because of the analytics and everything else. I mean, there's going to have to be some gut moves made in a series like this. Because you're going to have to go to guys that maybe analytics tell you that you shouldn't trust.
That's
but because
right.
You're
going to need guys that you haven't counted on all year to step up in big spots in the series.
Absolutely.
You know? You're going to pitchers, relief pitchers especially. That's what you're going to need.
Yeah, you need one of your starting pitchers to step up and have a game too.
Yeah.
Right? You're going to. I mean, at least give
you're,
you.
You're,
even if
you're right. You're going to need Hap to give you 6 1/3 of really solid baseball. You're going to need that. Because Cole's got to be great. Like the thing, you know, Chapman's got to be great. Britton's got to be great. Cole's got to be great. We know those things going in. But in addition to that, you're going to need other guys, a second, you know, starting pitcher, if not a second and third starting pitcher, to come out and pitch well in this series. Because otherwise, you're not going to win it.
That's a huge test. I mean, this is a legitimate test for the Yankees team.
I don't know if you guys feel like this. To me, this is the American League Championship Series. I mean, I give Oakland a chance if they get by Houston to beat either of these teams, but realistically, in my mind, this is the ALCS.
Yeah, I see it the same way, Dave. If we can get past this one, the Yankees are going to the World Series. That's how I feel about it.
And let's be
honest. But I don't know whether or not to like the fact that it's a shorter series. Like, I don't know whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, the fact that it's a 5-game series as opposed to 7. I don't know how to feel about that.
I wouldn't love it. Because you're only going to, I mean, realistically, you're only going to get, I mean, your best weapon, you're only going to see him once in the series. As opposed to getting a chance to see him twice in a 7-game series. I mean, Garrett Cole's going to pitch, we'd imagine, pitch
You don't think
once,
he would
right?
pitch on short rest if
He'll
he got to a game five?
He'll start game five.
Yeah, okay, he'll start game five, but he's not going to be at his, I mean, I would imagine he's probably not going to be at his best.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, I would favor, if I was the Yankees, I would favor having a 7-game series.
Okay.
But unfortunately, that's not the case because
this isn't what it is,
you
know? I mean, the Yankees are the Rays. This is the hand you're dealt, and go make the best of it.
No, listen, I don't disagree with you. I'm just, I mean, if we're going to sit here and say that you feel like this is the championship series, then it should be a 7-game series.
I would love to see that. I think it'd be great, but it's not. It's going to be a great series.
Well, it seems ridiculous to me. Like, are we that infatuated with brackets? That we need to come up with this Fugazi bracket where the team with the best record doesn't get to play the team with the worst record in a neutral site. So what exactly is the advantage for the Rays?
They have none.
None.
No advantage.
They have absolutely no advantage in this series, unless you consider, you know, batting last, being the home team 3 times in a stadium with no fans as an advantage.
No, it's asinine. It's ridiculous.
Right. There's no advantage. None.
Now, I couldn't hate this bracket thing more.
If I'm the Rays and I'm playing Houston right now, who I just and I know that they're, you know, they're a clutch team and I like Dusty Baker. If I'm playing Houston right now, I think they would run through them.
Yeah, but that's the benefit of
that's
being the number
saying.
One seed.
That's what I'm saying.
This is ridiculous.
If you're playing Houston, you beat them in 4, and then you're rested for a series. And the Yankees should go up against a tougher opponent in Oakland. But
I don't care
what
they say. Listen, I don't care what the rhetoric coming out of their clubhouse is. You know, 8-2 and everything else. They don't feel great about that 8-2. They're not. They didn't see this Yankees team in those 10 games.
It's gonna be a great.
Well, I thought Kevin Kiermaier came out and said that didn't matter. But he said what they did in the regular season doesn't matter.
It didn't matter
because it doesn't.
Yeah,
it doesn't. It means
they don't like each other though.
Which
I think that's
great.
The thing that you got out of their regular season games. They don't like each other.
Which is
the fact
good
that you
baseball.
Had that kind of tension in a postseason game. I love it.
Love it.
I love
well.
It.
I want to remind you, you can listen to us anywhere. Click listen live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app, or simply tell your smart speaker, play 98.7 ESPN at 98.7 ESPN New York. We go where you go. How annoyed would you be if you're commuting to work this morning? You're on, I don't even know what the road is, a major highway in Boston, and they shut down 4 lanes of traffic so that the Patriots buses can rush their way to the airport.
Yeah, I mean, you're not upset at all. You're a Patriots fan.
Exactly. Oh, I was like, what?
You're livid.
You're upset because they're traveling. You're upset
you had
to
sit
because
in
they
45
have to
minutes of traffic, so they shut down the highway so the Patriots can get to the airport?
Yeah, you want to see your team get there as soon as possible. I mean, you're already upset that there's going to be no Cam Newton. I got to watch Brian Hoyer, and on top of it, they're leaving day of game. Hey, you suck it up at that point. That's why you have a pee bottle. You're sitting
need multiple.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to have a lot of Patriots fans that are upset because they got to sit in traffic to teams going to the airport, Dave. I just don't. They've given them 6 Super Bowl championships in the last 20 years. I think they're good.
All right.
Come on, Dave, stop it.
Yeah.
All right.
If that was the Giants, yeah, I mean, you'd be at
well,
the front.
I wouldn't mind.
Out of your car, stopping traffic.
You're trying to get to work by 9 o'clock, and all of a sudden?
That's a great excuse.
I think, yeah, I'm about to say, if you tell your boss that you were caught up in that traffic from the Patriots buses going to the airport, I think your boss would be cool with that in Boston. Just saying.
Yeah, maybe you don't even show up.
Just turn around and go
right?
back.
Right? Turn around and go back.
Bill Belichick.
Couldn't make it in, sorry.
Just mention Bill Belichick. Yeah, I mean, that's a get-out-of-jail-free card. Bill Belichick.
Forever. All right, so again, Yankees tonight. Carlin starts at 7 o'clock right after the Kay Show. Kay's only been covering the Yankees for, what, like 30 years. So Kay from 2:55 to 7 today. Then it's Carlin from 7 to 8, a little pregame show. Then Yankees game one, Snell, Cole. I mean, here's the thing. I'm not even, I mean, obviously it's our local team, so I'm into it because of that. You don't even have to be a fan of the Yankees or the Rays to be into the series. This series has so many different things that are enticing. The pitching matchup tonight is sensational. I mean, you could argue these.
Yeah, but for the casual, but for the casual fan, what they're intrigued by is the animosity.
Which is great.
Yeah, which adds another layer.
Because these two teams do not like each other.
Yeah, I mean that's what draws you into it. I mean, us baseball nerds are going to love the pitching matchup and everything else, but the fact that these two teams hate each other,
I love it.
That's what the casual fan loves.
Love it. How could you not? I mean, the Astros can't stand the A's. The Yankees and Rays can't stand each other. I mean, there's a lot of legitimate, you know, division rivalry animosity in these four, you know, divisional series coming up. A
lot of tension. Lots of tension.
Love it. Love it. All right, so.
Yeah, but here's the other thing, too, though, Dave. When you start looking at the series, you know, I would say you start pointing at, you know, reasons why the Yankees would win or reason why Tampa would win. And one of the big things we kept talking about is how bad the Yankees were on the road. And they were, I mean, they were noticeably bad on the road. Like 12-18, the offensive numbers were just, I mean.
Bad, yes.
Night and day. But, I mean, how do you, you almost have to dismiss those, don't you, after what you saw in Cleveland?
Yes, in some way, but this is different. I mean, this Rays team.
Why is it different, though?
I think the Rays are considerably better than Cleveland.
That's fine, but I don't care how bad you think the AL Central was. You got a guy who won the Triple Crown, and you got, I mean, in leading into that game, Cookie Carrasco had been lights out. Those are still two of the better pitchers. I mean, you still saw two of the better pitchers in baseball.
You're right. I mean, what they did to Bieber was much more impressive in my mind than what they did to Carrasco. And I know Carrasco is good, but Bieber was the best pitcher in baseball.
But in general, though, those were the firsts. Like, how many saves had Brad Hand blown? None until that series. How many? And you got to call him Richard Vaughn. Like, if you start giving up home runs, you can't be Rick Vaughn. It's Richard, because that's how you're pitching. I mean, how many home runs he? Well, none until then. I mean, it wasn't. I mean, we weren't the blind sisters of the poor. That was a good Cleveland team.
You beat up on what we thought was a good baseball team. But I still think there are probably some people, and I think I'm included in that, who say, "Let me see you do it against the Rays." You go out there and do that against the Rays, and I'm completely sold.
Yeah, I agree with you. I need to see it, but I'm almost leaning towards now what we saw for the 60 games because of the injuries and everything else. I can't put as much stock in those 60 games. Because the team wasn't healthy, the team wasn't right, and apparently, you know, they can flip the switch when it comes to postseason baseball. Because that's
so you're dismissing the 5-15 stretch they went through, that 20.
I think I am.
Okay.
I think I have to.
But
here's
my choice. You can dismiss that, and you could still lose this series to the Rays.
No, you're not wrong.
Right. I mean, the Rays are really good.
No, the Rays are really good. But I think, I mean, I'm not gonna. I understand they struggled. In the fact that the Rays were 8-2, I get it. I mean, that would lead a lot of people to lean towards the Rays. The Yankees team I saw play against Cleveland felt like a different team to me than we've seen.
But I guess that's the part that gives me a little bit of trepidation about the Yankees going into this series. It's because I know who the Tampa Bay Rays are going to be, because they've been that same team the entire year. Like I don't know which version of the Yankees we're going to get. We're going to see. I don't. I'm hoping that we see the group that was in Cleveland last week. But I just don't know which group is going to show up. And that's me saying that as a fan. Like, I don't trust this team.
Well, here's a couple things that I do. Here's a couple things that I do know, though, is Gerrit Cole's track record he's been really good. And mm-hmm. He was good in game one. Tanaka, in the postseason, his ERA before that game was 1.76. His track record in the postseason, he's been very good. He was bad. He wasn't good in game two.
Nope. No, he wasn't.
So I would expect him to be better. Cole to be Cole, Tanaka to be better. And now this is, you're probably hoping for a shorter series because now this is when we start rolling the dice a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
With what are you going to get from Hap, Montgomery, and Garcia?
Yeah.
Question marks.
And I think the longer the series goes, too, and the more you have to go to the bullpen, I think that would probably favor the Rays.
Because the short series works in our favor.
Yes.
Okay. I think that Kevin Cash has more guys in his bullpen than he trusts than Aaron Boone at the moment.
Okay. Yeah, because, see, I've been going back and forth about that the last few days. Like, I just didn't know how to feel about that.
I think the Yankees might have the better bullpen guys, like the top end are
like
better.
Like the high end?
Yeah.
Like, but in terms of the number of guys that you can use?
Yes, I think the better one, if you were drafting the bullpen guys, the Yankees would probably be the earlier selections, and then, you know, from like 3 to 7, you might go with the Rays.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it just feels like Kevin Cash has more guys he trusts at the moment.
He does. He's got a lot of guys. It's going to be a great series. So what do we have after us? Barton Hahn, 11-1. Then we have Greeny. Then we have Max. Then the K Show. I mean, do you realize how long Michael has actually been covering the Yankees?
It's 29
years,
right?
30 years.
This was his 29th year, right?
Yeah. I mean, he's been doing it forever. So, I mean, you don't need to look anywhere else but the K Show at 255 all the way till 7 for your Yankees.
And by the way, too, Dave, because I was thinking about this bothered me all weekend. They decided to do the top four, and we had Don on and everything else about the top fours. Then you weren't even in any of the top fours, which is upsetting a little bit. Of course, Carlin is going to be everyone's favorite, and he's going to have all the time to check. He's got, what else does he have going on not to check? He can check in whenever he wants.
Yeah. He's got nothing.
He's got nothing going on. To our defense, I mean, I got 3 kids. You got 2 kids. I mean, Kansas's got all sorts of charity, everything else going on. He's preparing some, you know, certain thing. I mean, we got a lot of stuff going on here.
I mean, Carlin's, I mean, at the drop of a hat, he's ready to go.
Exactly right. What else is he doing? Of course he's got time to check in. Got no kids, no responsibilities. I mean, that's it.
Nope. He's always ready to talk.
See, so, I mean, I think that should be baked in.
I think
got stuff going on.
I still think those ratings are not legitimate. I would contest them. I would contest
but
them.
But, I mean,
Don's entire rating system is based on how long he's known you. Right, like if Don's known you for 20 years, you're in his top four. That's it. Because think of it, when he called us and said, "I got Carlin. I've known him for 27 years. Even when he's at the other station, he was my guy. Right? Went out to lunch with him. So I've known him forever. Alan Hahn, 20 years. I've known him. Larry Hardesty, I've known him for 20 years. Gordon Damer, I was at his wedding. Known him for 20 years. It's all about longevity.
I hate that system. I got family members I've known since the day I was born. I hate them.
Right. Exactly. That, not Don. If Don's known you his whole life, he adores you.
Now, is it a Jalen Ramsey Golden Tate kind of hate, or is it a...
No, I don't think it's not. It's not that level, but it's close.
It's not that level?
No, okay. No, it's close. Right. I mean, if you could trade or DFA family members, I would do it.
Yes, but not wait outside the locker room to mull kind of hate. No,
I only have so much energy.
Special kind of hate.
Can I ask a quick question, David?
Yeah, Carlin texting, strange.
Coming in hot,
things,
Dave.
By the way,
coming in hot.
I don't know if I should even read what he wrote.
What is he saying now?
Do you really want to hear this?
Well, this is just more proof. This is just more proof. He's got nothing going on.
When you hear this, you're gonna think he's an idiot, honestly. And I like Chris a lot. I wasn't dumb enough to have children. Children ruin your life. I mean, it goes on, but I don't think I need to.
That's some conviction.
I mean, that's like the most preposterous thing I've ever heard.
Can you imagine that grocery bill?
Children ruin your life.
Can I ask
imagine your life without your kids?
No. I'm thinking about having another one. Almost shot up the club last night. question about the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
And I don't want to rub this in with Santi. They make it a 3-point game.
Rub it
which
in.
Is incredible.
Why do they onside kick it?
No, not onside kick it. There's plenty. Why are you squib kicking it the way you squib kicked it? Now they got the ball at the 50.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
You think they run that Odell play if they're in there? I mean, if they're at the 25,
17 or 25? No. The Cowboys ridiculous. Are bad.
It's ridiculous. I had no idea why they did it. It seemed foolish to me.
Bad football team.
Time to look in the mirror, he says. Carlin is a savage, man. I'm telling you. This dude is a savage.
Yeah, I didn't realize. He's like got an assassin.
He's got no conscience,
he has no
nothing.
Emotions at all.
None.
No.
He says some crazy stuff, and he believes
He's got nothing to lose, boys. He's got nothing to lose.
He really does. He has nothing to lose.
I would argue. I would argue. Wait, I would argue weight. But.
Wow.
Yeah, that's aggressive. All right, so let's spend 90 seconds on the basketball, and then we can get into some baseball predictions. Chris, you're fine, right? Lakers lost last night. Jimmy Butler's sensational, but you're not worried about this thing.
I'm not worried about it, but I just feel like last night was an opportunity to slam the door shut. I mean, you're already up 2-0. It should be 3-0. I mean, they had no Bam Adebayo, no Goran Dragic. I thought last night was an opportunity to just put your foot on their throat. Jimmy Butler goes off for a 40-point triple-double, and, I mean, the Miami Heat are still in this thing. Like, I still think that it's going to be a gentleman's sweep and the Lakers will get done with this in five, but, I mean, I just don't like the fact that they're letting a team like Miami hang around just because I know how scrappy Miami can be. And Bam Adebayo is going to come back at some point in this series. So I didn't like it.
That's
I didn't like the
check,
fact
huh?
that AD had a quiet night. He only had 15 points. Like, that was a very uncharacteristic performance by the Lakers. They got down early, and I guess they tried to claw themselves back into it in the second quarter like they did in game two. But I just – you got to be careful with this Miami Heat team, man.
Yeah,
they're not going to roll over.
They will fight. I mean, you talk about a gut check, Rick. How good is Spoelstra? How determined is that team? No point guard. Their power forward is out, and they still find a way to beat you. I mean, that's a terrific job by them.
No, I mean, it's a well-coached team, and there's no quit, and I think that starts with Jimmy Butler and the leadership he brings. And I think it's let's be honest, too. I mean, LeBron James and that Lakers team is fine, and it's better for the conversation surrounding this championship that it wasn't a four-game sweep and how easy it was. For all the LeBron detractors out there. Oh, it was so easy.
Well, it's clear he didn't feel that way at the end of the game.
Well,
he did not feel that way at the end of the game.
He was not a happy guy.
Yeah.
At all.
Anthony Davis was not good in the first half. Anthony Davis was bad in the first half.
No, that was the worst game Anthony Davis has played in this postseason. He was not good.
And the positive for LeBron James is now, I mean, as long as they win the series, it wrapped up NBA Finals MVP.
Probably
yeah.
Still.
Yeah, he'd Unless be the first guy Davis to do it in bonkers. Three different teams.
Yep.
Yeah.
So. Yep. All right. So what do you say, Rick? Yankees, Rays. How many?
I asked Milo. I consulted Milo. Believe this or not. I mean, he's
going to say Yankees in four.
And he said Yankees in five.
Yeah. Oh, all right.
Milo said Yankees in five.
Chris, you want to make a prediction or because you're heavily involved, you don't want to?
I think it'll be the Yankees in five.
Yankees in five?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'll go out on a limb here. Rays in four.
You're a bad guy.
Rays in four.
You wanted to say that so you could be a bad guy.
Rays in four.
You know what? Carlin was right about you, Dave. You're just a bad guy. You have some clear character flaws. There are some things
there's
wrong.
No doubt about that. But I do love my children.
DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Kicks them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.